This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:15 in the evening and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Ayman. So our next story is going to be really about how to ensure Malaysia will no longer or never be a dumping ground for the world again. This is coming after it was reported that around 3,700 metric tons of waste was sent back to their respective countries of origin since the third quarter of last year.
Yeah, so as you may know, last year it was revealed that trash from developed countries have ended up in Malaysia ever since China banned the import of plastic waste back in 2018. So now it looks like we've been returning this trash back to their original countries by using strict enforcement at key ports to block the smuggling of waste and also closing down more than 200 illegal plastic recycling factories.
So Mestec Minister Yeo Bee-yin has said that there's still about 2,200 metric tons of waste that needs to be sent back to countries like the US, Canada and UK. And commenting on these continued efforts to send back the trash, she said, "If people want to see us as the rubbish dump of the world, you dream on." Which I enjoy the spirit of that statement. So my first thought was, I remember the uproar that happened when we found out, when the photos and videos were first released of the dumping grounds, right? And how horrified everyone was. I also remember reading the articles from the people who lived near or lived in the towns where those dumping sites were. And they all spoke about how horrible it is, how difficult it is for them to breathe, you know, all these things. And my thing is, I'm glad that we're sending things back. I also really hope that on the flip side, we're actually enforcing so that it just never happens again, because there is no point in sort of doing this back and forth where we send it back and then there continues to be ways for it to flow in regardless.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, judging by the amount of waste that is being sent back, it looks like the actions that are being taken seems to work. So it's more about a sustained effort, right? Because it's going to be a continuing kind of issue.
You dream on.
Yeah, dream. I mean, the reason, because this is the illegal waste, right, that's being smuggled into the country. So it's being smuggled because there is demand. So there is a key kind of point there where, you know, you need to deal with the demand for this waste management kind of activities, because it does generate a lot of revenue for those who are involved in it. It's a good money-making exercise. So it's a matter of controlling it, I guess, so that it doesn't get out of hand, just like it did last year when we became basically the dumping ground for developed countries' waste.
And it's part of an ongoing thing in other countries too, right? Like, I think among many developing countries, there's this growing awareness of not wanting to be those people, not wanting to be the ones who have to take on everyone else's rubbish. But to your point, I think, about what is our capacity, I'd be really interested to find out that number. You know, what can we process meaningfully and profitably, and not get to the point where once again, it accidentally just, because I can see things slowly cycling out of control. I can see how we've got it, don't worry, how we take in more than we necessarily want, perhaps, and then we end up hopefully not back at square one, but something close to it. So yeah, I'm interested in knowing how we're safeguarding that. If you'd like to weigh in on the subject of Malaysia no longer being the world's dumping ground when it comes to plastic waste, call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us on the line is Professor Dr. Agamuthu Pariyathambi from the Jeffrey Sachs Centre on Sustainable Development at Sunway University. Prof, thank you so much for being with us. So, Malaysia has reportedly sent back 3,737 metric tons of trash back to countries of origin. Help us understand how significant this development is.
Yeah, I think the 3,700 metric tons mostly are with the illegal importers, and I think many of these people do not have facilities to actually store them properly. And I think the leachate was actually causing problem. And that, to me, I think the environmental impact is much more serious than the economic benefits from this trash that was brought into the country. This is something that we need to seriously look at it again and consider how best to completely stop this trash from coming into the country.
The minister, Yeo Bee-in, sent out a pretty strong message that other countries can dream on about having their trash sent to us. So does this mean that Malaysia won't ever be accepting any trash from overseas?
I think in the first place, I should congratulate the YB minister for coming up with this strong statement. I think it's high time that the government gives the signal to the countries, but particularly the developed nations which were dumping their trash into Malaysia. But on the other hand, I think the signal is clear, all right, but we may not actually ban the total import of materials into the country, because there are some clean players, like, for example, paper recyclers, who actually need to bring in paper for recycling. And the issue here is actually the mixed waste, particularly mixed waste with e-waste or hazardous waste. I think that is a bigger problem than all other types of waste. Because, like, you know, in Japan, even clean plastic is converted to diesel. We can't do anything like that simply because the material is extremely polluted and it is heterogeneous. And we just cannot do any technology with this kind of material. So good. The signal is good. And I think we may have to come up with some flexibility to specific materials that may have to be brought into the country.
So ministers have said more than once that the waste industry is a lucrative one. Can we ignore the fact that it's an income generator?
We cannot ignore that simply because waste is actually what we consider as a gold mine nowadays. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. So we cannot totally ignore the revenues that come from the waste. But as I said, revenue can only come if the waste is source-operated. Otherwise, I think it will cause more environmental damage than the benefits from the materials that's coming in. So we cannot totally ignore the waste material that is coming in, but it has to be strictly controlled.
What steps or prevention measures are we taking to make sure that we don't deal with mixed waste and this never happens again?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, the government is actually revamping and revising the Environmental Quality Act, which is actually the main regulations that is relevant to the hazardous material. I think it's not just the act. I think it is the implementation and the enforcement. I think I've been telling this even before. What we need is a very transparent and enforcement of these regulations in the various ports of entry, and that may actually solve the problem to a certain extent.
So bringing it, you know, closer to home, what about the waste that we're generating? How much waste does Malaysia produce?
Malaysia, I think we are generating anything like 40,000 tons a day. And I think Kuala Lumpur alone and the surrounding area is producing about 4,000 tons a day. And as you may be aware, 90% of the waste actually still going to the landfill or dump sites. So our concern now is to look at a source separation and technology. What can we do? And there is no sign of the waste quantity going down, not only in Malaysia. In any developing country, the annual increase is anything from 1 to 3%. And none of the developing countries are showing any sign of decrease in the per capita generation. So that's a big issue, which we have seen some developed countries showing good signs of reduction in the per capita, like in Japan and also in Denmark and maybe even in Holland. But it's not happening in developing countries, including Malaysia. So we see it's increasing every year.
So that amount of waste a day is pretty shocking, I would say. So what should developing countries like Malaysia be doing differently to reduce the amount of trash that we generate?
Yeah, but some countries, particularly, you know, neighbours like Singapore, has already imposed a very strict ban on single-use plastic. And I seriously don't understand why Malaysia is dragging their feet on this issue. The single-use plastic is one of the biggest problems we are having. Even India has already announced a date that I think by 2022, they already announced that they're going to ban single-use plastic, but they already implemented it now. Even now, if you go to supermarkets in India, you have to pay about 1 ringgit 20 cents a bag, which is not plastic. They don't give you plastic bag. They give you recyclable cloth bag, which can be used again. But it's not 20 cents like in Malaysia. It's 1 ringgit 20 cents. So there's, the implementation has to be very, very, and it should come top down. And there should be some very strong signal against this. Because we have about 15 to 20% sometimes plastic sitting in our landfill, causing a lot of havoc for the landfill gas to escape or the leachate to flow. We know how bad it is. We would prefer to have the plastic sent elsewhere for treatment, but it's not happening. So I seriously think that one of the things that we should consider, like other developing countries like Thailand, Thailand has already given a date. India has given a date to ban the single-use plastic. I really think Malaysia should seriously come up with a date, like say it should ban by say next year, for example. I think that is one of the main things that we may be able to do to reduce the actual amount of waste that's going to the landfill.
And whenever we think about reducing waste, we tend to focus on plastic bags, plastic straws. But what other forms of plastic do we need to be thinking of?
Now we are not only worried about plastic, we are worried about microplastic. And microplastic is actually, as the name itself says, micro, it's below 5 mm. And what is happening now is that it is polluting our rivers and the ponds and the sea and the ocean. And all the filter feeders like cockles and fish are feeding on this when they filter the water. And all this plastic sticks down to their muscles, and we are actually consuming these contaminated materials. That's one big issue. There are lots and lots of data on this microplastic coming up now. And the second thing is the microplastic is also found in drinking water in many developed countries, and also in the salt that we use for cooking. Our own research in Malaysia, we found that many rivers, they do have microplastic. Fortunately, it is not at an alarming stage. I think we should take steps now itself so that it doesn't go beyond this. Most of these microplastics actually come from plastics that are broken down by the physical, chemical, or biological methods. And second source of microplastic is actually the beauty products, which contains the microplastics or microbeads that gives the roughage for the face cleaning and so on. That is why many countries have already banned the microbeads in these cosmetic products. And they even advertise on the packaging material, no microbeads. So I think we should be proactive and take action before we actually see a lot of these materials in our environment.
Prof, thank you very much for weighing in. That was Professor Dr. Agamuthu Pariyathambi from the Jeffrey Sachs Centre on Sustainable Development at Sunway University, talking to us about the measures and steps we need to take to ensure that we just never again find ourselves in that position.
Being the world's dump site.
Yeah, it's not the nicest nickname that we could get. So get in touch. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.